You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another short week. And so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunze from Sunland Private Wealth. And we were talking about this this whole family trust or something that happened over the weekend. Somebody got overextended and started to punt some money that wasn't his. And I said to you this morning when we spoke on the opening about this 20 billion issue, and I said, yeah, this is a time to buy. But increasingly, I'm thinking it's not the time to buy because there may be some more to come.
Evening, Lindsay. I'm not sure about that. Look, there's no doubt about it. This this particular family office stroke hedge fund, call it what you want. You know, they were geared up to the eyeballs. They had $15 billion under management and had $80 billion in the marketplace. So when the sort of when inevitably too much leverage, too many derivatives, market moves against you all came tumbling down, and quite frankly, what I understand, they're all dealing with CFDs and hedge and derivative products. So no one really knew that this position was so big, such as is the sort of the new rules on Wall Street. That when it was time to exit, I mean, it all came tumbling down. Like, I'm not sure. At the moment, it looks like Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs were the first ones out the door, and they've been fairly sort of limited to their losses. But in Nomura were not. They were down 17% this morning on their stock price, and it looks like Credit Suisse are the other ones. But it seems to be that's about it, and it was quite contained, as we said this morning. It was more like a handful of tech and Chinese tech shares. But nevertheless, I mean, it just goes on to make you concerned. Like, how much else do we know about? I mean, if we didn't know about this guy, I was supposedly one of the biggest open positions on Wall Street because he's covered up in derivatives and all the rest. But it does, I mean, it goes big back to your original question. It makes me a little bit nervous about how many else might be out there, how much else is out there.
We've always said over the last, well, we haven't always said, but over the last 2 to 3 months, we said, well, the sort of moves that we're seeing on the market at the moment lends itself.
Someone's getting hurt.
Yeah, someone's, you know, whether it be the rise in the bond yield in the United States or whether it be the massive rise in the S&P 500 futures, the NASDAQ and the shift from the NASDAQ to the S&P, etc. You know what, the sector rotation. Someone's going to get hurt. This is the first hurt.
Absolutely, Lindsay. Then you throw into the pot massive leverage, concentrated positions, throw in some nice little derivative overlays, throw in forced deleveraging and distressed sales, and you have a recipe for disaster. So, I mean, Viacom, which is one of their biggest holdings, supposedly, which they're still shopping around the block trades as we speak this morning, the last sort of legs of what's left of that position. This particular family office was 5 times geared. So, well, Viacom dropped 50% in 5 days. So 5 times geared on that same position, if you were conservative, what we understand, that's a 250% loss of your initial capital. So you're 2.5 times underwater on your position. You have to pay. Hence the margin calls came fast and quick. So, yes, I mean, leverage works both ways. It's nice on the upside, but when things turn, it can be an absolute killer like we've seen now, and it's just, it's wiped out another office.
Yeah, but as we said this morning on the opening, what do we do here? Do we say to ourselves, well, that's fine. It's out the way now. Everybody knows about it. If Lindsay Williams can see it on Bloomberg, then it's out the way, so we just start to buy again. On the other hand, is there another tranche? Is there another hedge fund? Is there another family trust? Is there another whatever it is vehicle?
Well, I think we'd be fools to not think that there's some others out there, because the moves that we had in certain asset classes have been massive. So I think it'd be sort of naive to think there wasn't. But if you look at the market price movement today, and particularly equity markets, which this particular fund played in, you'd have to say it fairly controlled. It's negative. I mean, the S&P is down 0.72. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a negative slant to it, but it's not, we're not down 10% on the day. So you'd have to say the financial markets or the funds that are offloading this by shopping around these blocks and getting them in one big tranche, it seems to have controlled. It seems to have lessened the sort of spillover. For now, that is, anyway.
Yeah, but anyway, Nick, it's only 5 o'clock. It's only 5:15. Anything can happen in a short week, and people want to. People ahead of the month end and the quarter end and ahead of Easter, the Easter holiday, which is a long weekend in many countries. This is going to be a really, really interesting 2-3 days. The spot prices look like this. The dollar rand, 14.96. The British pound against the rand, 20.61. The euro rand is 17.60. The euro dollar is 1.1763. Look at that dollar again. It just keeps on grinding its way higher. I hate the word grinding, but I'm going to use it. Let's have a look at the commodities prices. Gold price getting smacked by $21 to $17.11 per ounce. The platinum price getting also a little bit of a tickle at $11.70, down $7 an ounce. And palladium is where, please, Nick?
Oof, nowhere to hide from the dollar. Down $137. That's a 5%
Look at that thing.
Limit down. Yeah, 2,537. Big moves.
Yeah, I've got 2,035 on my screen, but you've got the fancy screens. But yes, it looks really, really awful. The Texas crude price, I don't know. I don't know what's happening with the Evergreen, the Evergreen tanker. Some people say that the bow is doing this and the stern is doing that, and therefore the crude, the 17,000 ships that are...
Well, we've already established we're not going to get on the HMS Williams anytime soon.
No, there's absolutely nothing. My cruise ship is in the queue. The West Texas is down 0.8% to $60.49. The Brent crude oil price is $64.01, which is down 0.9%. And I'm going to give you the US 10-year, which has been edging its way higher. This is a trend. Mm. I can tell you.
A stealth move.
This is a bull market. It went from 175 down to 159, and it's now 170. The US 10-year bond yield is 170, which is a rise in the yield of around about 2.5%. I'm not going to say that it's important, but I'm just saying that this is a trend. And I've given you the oil price already. Let's have a look at the South African price. Actually, I haven't got the South African 10-year on my screen. Don't know if you've got it, but
yeah, I can give a few. So South African 10-year. Well, given the rand has been quite strong today, surprisingly so. It's back under the key handle of 15, and that's been reflected in the 10-year bond price. So it's call it 3.5 pips stronger, 9.45 today.
Okay, not bad at all. 9.45 was 9.63, 9.64 last week. Movers on the JSE today. Tell me before I tell you mine. You show me, I'll show you yours.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. The banks were strong today. Maybe it's to do with the sort of dropping yield and the firming SA bond prices. Maybe that carry trade in SA is alive and well, given what the rand is doing, because the banks are front and center once again. I've got APSA, good day today, 4.53% firmer, Nedbank a 4.52% winner, and First Rand a 4.17%. So those really stood out for me. And then AngloGold Ashanti, also a bit of an outlier, 5.5% firmer. That's despite the stronger dollar. So not sure what's going on there.
Exactly. You like the financials, don't you? You seem to like the financials in the bank. You just think that they're a little bit undervalued.
No, not at all. Oh. I think the South African economy, which most of them operate almost entirely in, has got a lot of challenges ahead of it. But I like them in that they give me an idea of where the money's going. So when I see firmer big moves in financials on a day like today, when there's a little bit of a risk-off theme, it does make me feel better. So I just use it more as an indication of where the flows are going. So often when you see big moves in the banks and the retailers, which a lot of the foreigners have a big shareholding, as an indication there's foreign buying. So there's a little tip for the Lindsay Williams show.
Okay, let's have a look at the top five major moves according to my screen. AngloGold Ashanti, you mentioned that already. Let's call it 5.6% higher. Remgro, results last week, up 5.4%. Bidvest, up 5% higher. Absa Group, up 4.5%. Nedcor, up 4.5%. On the downside, I've got African Rainbow Minerals down nearly 3%. Anglo Platinum, down 2.8%. RB Platinum, that's Royal Bafokeng, down 2.5%. And Sibanye-Stillwater, down 2.4%. Very, very interesting stuff going into quarter end and also the Easter period. All I can say is that tell me what the VIX is. That's the volatility index, because I want to have a short-term punt with you on the volatility index, because we're going into Easter and we're going into the quarter and month end.
So when we last spoke, give or take a week ago, we said we were buyers at 19.2, where it was.
It was actually 19.3, but anyway.
Was it 19.3?
Okay. Yes, it was.
19.3. Mm-hmm. The VIX is currently 21.5. It's up 13.5% on the day.
That's not good enough. I need 25.
Careful what you wish for.
I promise you, it's going to go much, much higher in the next 3 days. Anyway, so we're making a couple of percent, which is really good. But more seriously, it does look as though people go into this month end and quarter end with a little bit of trepidation, especially as certain parts of the world observe a religious holiday this weekend.
Yeah, you've got to be a little bit careful because you've got to be careful for two reasons. Firstly, the volumes will be very thin. The market's going to be quite illiquid, which is also a cause for concern because there's quite a few. This sort of blow up in this family office came out of nowhere. There's big moves in these US banks with exposures to them. Also came out of nowhere. And heading into a new quarter, as I said this morning, you know, it's not as if we came out of a quiet quarter. This quarter has been monstrous with some of the moves that happened. I mean, for goodness sake, Lindsay, I mean, we've had a ship blocking the canal in the Suez for the better part of a week.
Has it been refloated? I think it has. I mean,
yeah, I believe it has been. But I'm just making a point that, what a quarter. I mean, Donald Trump's is almost like a distant memory, isn't he? We've got a new president we haven't even spoken about. He's been very quiet.
Donald Trump can never be distant memory because he's so fantastic. I mean, he's
anyway. I mean, that all happened in the last quarter.
Yes,
and
quite right.
And blowing up to throw into before in. So I mean, yeah. So if anything, I think the year is just getting started before we head into the second quarter.
Nick Kunter is from Sandon Private Wealth. Actually, give us the JSE indices on this first day of another short week on the JSE Securities Exchange.
Yeah, so let's run through these numbers. So, good session. Given on from Friday's monster session, best one in the last space of 12 months, practically second best one in 12 months. Continuing today on Monday, 0.3% higher in the JSE All Share, back above 67,000. Here we go, 67,080. Nicely timed for those month-end statements going out. We have also got the top 40 index up 0.33% as well, 61,443. We've been led higher by industrials, had a good day today, 3.32%. Firmer financials, we spoke about that, 2.5% firmer as well, and healthcare as well. Aspen had a good day bouncing back off its recent lows, 1% firmer. Real estate also 0.5%. Downside, a little bit of a lag as the process continues to disappoint those US tech shares sell off. So technology index was still down 0.25%, and utilities were weaker by almost 4%. Value traded, given what we've seen, I was quite surprised. The value was a bit disappointing. 20.8 billion on the low side for the last couple of weeks.
Do you think that the tech shares are still the subject of selling from that particular hedge fund or family trust or whatever you want to call it? Do you think that might continue? As I said, it might be two or three different tranches of selling.
Definitely. Definitely. And until you see, so I've got my watch list. You know, there's always something to stick on your watch list. I've got sort of Billy, which is the is the version of YouTube for China. I've got Alibaba. I've got Baidu, which is the other one that had a big exposure to. Just keep me. So when you start seeing those stopping selling off, it's a signal that maybe the selling's done. But I think there's another day or two of this to go.
Nick Kunter is from Sandon Private Wealth. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick will be back with me tomorrow morning for the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.